All right. Another beautiful Sabbath day of the Lord, which Christ himself created and created the Sabbath for man to dwell, to have peace, to have rest. Such an honor to be up here again during the Lord's time, not man's time, not the time that man has ordained with man's so-called intellect and knowledge, but the one who is all now, who can really teach the Lord? Not anybody. Get started with a prayer here. Just bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just give you all the praise and glory again. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies. We thank you for your righteousness, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your judgment. For in your judgment, Lord, you are still good. For you still teach us. Even though it might hurt, Lord, you still teach us. And you're showing your love. And thank goodness that your mercy is twice as your judgment, Lord. For we know how mighty and how powerful you are, Lord. For when you speak, the world can jump. Countries can move. Waters turn. Wind blowing. Volcanoes erupting. Mountains melting. Praise you, Most High, for you are so good and you are all power, Lord. So we just thank you, Father, for this day. We just thank you for this time, Father. And we just ask you that that this word goes forth today, Lord, that once again that I am moved, that my weaknesses and my flesh hooks are removed, Lord, and that only the Ruach HaKodesh, only your Holy Spirit is speaking through me, Lord, that I just may be a utensil and a tool used today, Lord, to be a to build and prepare the way, Father, for your kingdom. For Father, we just give you all the praise and glory, and we love you, Father. And we want to do more than just lip service. We want our actions to speak for us, Lord. So we just give you all the praise and glory. We just ask you, Lord, to be with everybody in the body. We just ask you to be with all the members here and those who are traveling, spreading the ministry and evangelizing. Heavenly Father, we're trying to spread seeds for you, Lord. We just ask you to be with everybody here, to be with the people on CDs, Lord. For we just pray that everything that has been prayed today, this morning, the praise and worship and the word today will just be confirmation in the mind of the believers of the Holy Spirit, and that the God that we serve is alive and well, that he is very active right now in this time, and we just want you to get all the praise and glory, Lord. We thank you so much. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May the Most High Shalom be with you. We give all the praise and honor to the Almighty Yah, who sits on the highest throne in the highest heaven. We thank our Father who is good, who has promised to awaken us from our sleep in and with the world and to return us to the ancient path. We will wait with anticipation and patience for the Son of the living God, who is the restorer of all things, the Redeemer for the sons and daughter of Jacob, the perfect husband for all men and women who want to align themselves with the body of Christ. May we continue to strive together in Christ. So we can be light and that we can shine in a dark, dark, dying world till our Lord comes back, which is soon. Very, very soon. Today we're going to go over the importance of milk. And the message for today is milk does a body good. That is the word from the Most High for today. It's just amazing. The Lord has just done so much with me in such a short time, honestly. He just continues just to blow my mind. And the honestly, the scary part is that we really just scratched the surface, honestly. So it is kind of frightening, but we should be fearful of the Lord. I mean, he is the Almighty One. You know, he speaks and mountains melt, you know. But I had an interesting time in 1998 when I was a freshman at Mississippi State University. I had a class that I was not supposed to be in. Sometimes you sign up for your classes and you got to have the proper prerequisites. You got to have a certain class before you go into this class. So I somehow, my counselors put me in this something training class, very advanced in human anatomy, so on and so forth. And the thing that now I look back on, I find it interesting, was that the professor of that class, as he would go over the human anatomy and different body parts and structures and so on and so forth, he would always say the creator. The heart does this. The heart does that. The nervous system does this. Look at the creator is actually what he said. Look at the creator. So just, it was not a mistake for me to be in that class. You know, whoever did my schedule was just doing whatever they were supposed to do, and they, you can say made a mistake, but I was supposed to be in that class, and those were seeds that were dropped in my mind during then, so I just kind of find it interesting, you know, as some of this will be talking about the body a little bit. Our body is made up of different systems, okay? Muscular system, nervous system, a reproductive system, etc., okay? Each has its own duty and responsibility to allow the body for a proper function. Okay, so muscular system does this. Obviously, the reproductive system does. Every system has its own job to do, not trying to put one over on top of the other. Okay, now the skeletal system, all right, has a lot to do with proper movement. A lot to do with proper movement. Okay, but one of the duties of the skeletal system is to protect. Okay, when you look at some of our organs, we have a lot of internal organs. Very, very important, okay? If something happened to your kidneys, you got some problems, okay? If you have some intestinal problems with your large or small intestines, you got some issues. If your appendix busts, very, very small, your appendix, but you will have some problems, okay? Now, we're going to talk about really quick about two of those organs. We're going to look at the heart and the brain, okay? Your heart is protected by your rib cage, skeletal system, bones. Okay, your brain is in your skull, your cranium. It is protected. Okay, two very, very vital things. If your heart, if the ticker stops working, you're done. No more blood's being pumped throughout your body. It's a wrap. That's it. Okay, if it stops pumping. If your brain shuts down, you're in a vegetable-like state. So you're pretty much gone, right? So the brain and the heart are protected. And there are other organs. I'm not trying to knock anything else. I'm just saying, just kind of using the example of the bones and the skeletal system. But anyway, so we're going to look at milk. Okay, now milk obviously provides proper vitamins and nutrients to strengthen the bones, to make them strong. We want our bones hard. We don't want fragile bones, right? We don't want to be fragile. We don't want to weak. We want to have strong bones. Okay, and something I found out that was very interesting, today you have health experts that disclaim milk today. They say that milk is actually not good for you. It does the opposite of what we know about milk. And something the Most High kind of put to my attention was that the simplicity of that, of milk strengthening your bones, is the same way that religious leaders today tell you that this is not what it is. You don't need this. Oh, that's old. It's done away with. You can't live like that. So the same way health experts talk about milk and saying the milk's not good for you is the same way religious leaders try to disclaim the word. Sad. So the Most High will, he will have a lot to say whenever that time's come. But let's start. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to do my best to get through this. Got a lot of scripture today. There's nothing more valid than the word of the Lord. God's word that has been preserved throughout time for us. You know, people that try to disclaim the Bible. If the Bible was not what it was, then what will we have? We would have man's opinion, man's intellect, man's understanding. We still have that today. The most probably opposition to the word of God is man's own knowledge. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll have four scriptures today that are going to be basis, okay? 1 Peter 2:2, Hebrews 5, 12 through 6, 3, 1 Corinthians 3, 2, Isaiah 28, 29. We're going to build off a lot of those with a lot of different verses to back them up so that we can be well armed today. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Well, we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I'm in the New King James Version. And here we have milk being compared to helping us grow. And it's also milk for babes. And I find that interesting because the last 3 years, or 3.5 years, I've had a lot of babies. You know, so I understand. I really get it with babes and milk. Makes a lot of good sense. Okay. So the milk of the word, okay, that you may grow. Milk of the word that you may grow. Okay, let's turn to 1 John and keep in mind word. Just keep in mind word. And I will do my best not to lose you guys. All right, 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled, concerning the word of life. The word of life. So here the word is life. The word is life. Turn to Titus, please. Turn to the book of Titus. Right after 2 Timothy. Book of Titus. We'll start in the first chapter. And we'll start at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict, for there are many insubordinates, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain, one of them a prophet of their own. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, 9 through 16... the word was called, right off top, was called pure. And the word also, I'm sorry, was faithful, right off top, I think. Was faithful. Yes, the faithful word. And the word was also called pure. So, over 1 John 1:1, the word is called life. Titus 9 through 16, first chapter. Faithful, pure. Now, if a babe is supposed to be on milk to help the babe grow, and the milk was called pure, now the word, by another writer, is the word is called life, pure and faithful. So we're going to see how many different variations is there of word by people who understood God, understood the word far beyond we can. We're going to see what they say. Okay, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I try to do a little bit better. We don't have to do a lot of turning of having things kind of close, but I'll get there one day. All right, 2 Timothy 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So here the word is called truth. Pure milk of the word for a babe to help them grow. And now we see really fast, word is life. It's pure, it's faithful, and it's true. Word. Let's keep digging. We're going to dig today. Shovels. We got shovels today. We got hard hats. We got flashlights. We're going to dig today. Colossians, book of Colossians, please. When you understand the word, when you understand what the writers are saying, when you have that understanding, when the Lord allows you to have that understanding, it's a whole nother ball game. And now, you know, the attacks of the world through other people or through other religions and so on and so forth, you have your shield. You got your sword now. You got your helmet. You're able to fight back now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Because the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of the truth and of the gospel. You think about that babe, and you think about the milk and the concept of growing, and how are we supposed to grow? We're babes in Christ, so how do you grow into adulthood, a man, a full man, a woman in Christ? Well, so far we got the word is life, the word is pure, the word is faithful, the word is truth. That's a lot of growing. That's a lot of good health. We understand milk makes your bones strong, but how does the milk of the word, the Most High's milk? Let's turn to Psalms 33. Psalms 33. Just shout me out an amen when you get there. We'll... Psalms 33. Okay. Psalms 33, and we'll start in verse 4. And I will read this one out of the Tanakh, just because of Tanakh. Well, I'll read both. 33:4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Skip down to 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So the word of the Lord is right. It is true. The word of the Lord is of the Lord. The pure milk to help a baby grow. In the Tanakh 33. For the word of Hashem is upright, and all his deeds are done with faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The kindness of Hashem fills the earth. By the word of Hashem where the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Praise the Lord. Turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. For fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, the word is sound doctrine. Sound, it's solid, it is fundamental. It's fundamental. We're going to touch on some fundamentals a little bit later, how important. Because when pressure comes and chaos comes and the enemies' attacks or testing of the Lord, either or, sometimes you just got to stick to the fundamentals. The fundamentals of the word. The pure milk that helped you grow when you was a baby. Now you're grown. Some previous messages, I think running for the Lord, we were talking about 1 + 1 = 2. I'm over here in advanced, super maximum calculus, and 1 + 1 = 2, the fundamentals. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. See, the Lord wants us to do things the easy way, but the world likes the hard way. Man's way is hard. Most our ways is very simple, very easy. We'll start in chapter 4. We'll go ahead in verse 1, 4:1, and I'll read this out to King James. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, or Torah. Word. Good doctrine, forsake not my Torah, forsake not my law, forsake not my commandments. These are fundamental for you. Amen. Fundamental. Let's turn to Acts, and we're going to kind of skim through Acts a little bit. We're going to look at the word. We're going to look at the word, just the term the word. We'll start in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse Acts chapter 8. We'll be in verse 4. Acts 8, verse 4. Still hear the page shuffling. Okay. 8:4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Therefore, those who were scattered went forth preaching the word. Well, what word were they preaching? I wonder what principles and sound doctrine and life and truth, milk, were they giving to the babes who are wanting to follow the Lord, whether it's from a Gentile standpoint or from the house of Judah standpoint. What were they teaching? The word. Acts, same chapter, verse 25. We're still in the same chapters. Go down to 25. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. The word of the Lord. Acts chapter 11. Starting in verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So word is life, word is pure, word is faithful, word is truth, word is sound doctrine, word is of the Lord. That's pretty simple. I mean, you don't have to have a degree to understand that. Now, if you want to dilute that word, we're going to talk about diluting the milk. We're going to talk about bad milk. Okay, and we all know what bad milk is. I don't want to jump the gun. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. And we'll stop in 24. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 13, verse 23. We'll stop in 26. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus, after John had first preached before his coming to the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." Okay, word of salvation. Wait a minute. Word of life. Word is pure. Word is faithful. Word is true. Sound doctrine. Word of God. Word of the Lord. Word of salvation. How can one word mean so much? And something that the Lord dawned on me with a particular issue as I was getting deeper into my Hebrew roots. Don't minimize me, son. Do not minimize me. You got to maximize me. Because the Most High cannot be contained. If he wants to do something, he will do it. Because he sits on the highest throne. He is the Almighty. So if he wants to do it, he will do it. So you cannot minimize the Lord. You have to maximize the Lord. Acts 15. Acts 15. Verse 36. 15:36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." So they preached the word to them, and now they want to go see how they're doing. Action. You know, Shabbat, holy days, dietary laws, righteousness, justice, truth, mercy, the fundamentals of the Lord applied to your life. In the first century, their time. So they probably looked at Abraham and, man, that's old. They're first century. They probably got running water. They got cities, beautiful cities. So that's why to the Lord, nothing's really new. One reason why the Lord can't change is because man won't change. So one reason why the Lord, he refuses to change. So we have no choice. Got to get humble. Got to get that heart circumcised.
Amen.
And return to the ancient way of the Lord, because it is good.
Amen.
Acts 18, verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Once again, the word of God. Word. Turn to Psalm chapter 12, book of Psalms, chapter 12. And I will read this one out tonight. It's very beautiful. 12:6. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. The words of Hashem are pure words, like purified silver, clear to the world, refined sevenfold. So once again, the word is pure. We mess it up. We have the issues. The word is good as it is. Turn to Psalms 130. Psalms 130. Psalms 130. We'll be in verse 5. I'm going to read this one out of the King James. Verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. So, there is hope in the word. There is hope in the word. There's life in it. There's truth in it. It's sound doctrine. There's salvation in it. And now there's hope in the word. In the word of the Lord, the word of God. In the Tanakh, it says, I put confidence in Hashem. My soul put confidence, and I hoped for his word. Hope. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we've heard that since we were probably all itty-bitty. A very, very common scripture in use, especially in the church. And that church is in no Sunday church. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So, once again, life, pure, faithful, truth, sound doctrine, word of God, word of the Lord, salvation, hope, and that's lamp and light. The word is. Let's keep digging. Let's keep digging. Same chapter, verse 133. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order, like a God. We just read it was a lamp and light, and it's life, and it's sound doctrine. Order me, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. So the word keeps us from iniquity. The word keeps us straight. The word keeps us safe. The word is salvation. We want to be saved. Stick to the word. Stick to the fundamentals. Go down to verse 140. We'll read 140. Same chapter. We'll read 140 through 142. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is thy truth. Okay, wait a minute. So the word is pure. The word is righteousness, and then it's everlasting righteousness, and then the Torah or the law is truth. Life, faithful, pure, truth, sound doctrine, word of Lord, word of God, salvation, pure, hope, lamp, light, God, pure, righteousness, everlasting righteousness, truth. Now think about 1 Peter 2:2, the babes and the milk, the pure milk, to help them grow. And then we're not talking about advanced. This is not hard here. This is just the simpleness of the word. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. And I'm going to read that again, because I think in the Tanakh it hit a home run. I mean, that was a good one, don't get me wrong. I think in 22, and I'm going to start in actual. I'll read it again, and I'll start in verse 20, not 21, sorry. Start in verse 20. Verse 20. Surely I have written to you in the Torah extremely noble things with counsel and knowledge, to teach you the veracity of true words, so that you may answer words of truth to those who send word to you. So how do you answer the reason why you keep the Sabbath? The Torah, words of truth, the words of truth, so you can answer them soundly and solidly, sound doctrine. I just love how in the scriptures it always bounces back and forth. There's not any loopholes in the word of the Lord. There's loopholes in man, and man's deception, and man's purpose, but in the purpose of the living God, there are no loopholes. So why do you keep the Sabbath? Well, the Father said so. The Father also said that it is a sign between me and him. So if I have a relationship with the Lord and I say, yeah, I follow God, then I have to keep Sabbath so he can, that is me physically showing. That's the proof. That's me not being a full of mouth and mouth service. I'm showing him this because I'm doing it. Amen. Well, you can worship it any day. True. But what day did he put aside? And are you putting your entire day aside for the Lord? There's a difference between going to church on Saturday and then keeping the Sabbath. There's a big difference. Okay? And I don't want to knock Sunday, but Sunday's about to get knocked. It's interesting. We were going through Bible study and we was talking about Ezekiel and the different prophecies, especially with referring to the United States of America in the book of Ezekiel. And in the Tanakh, it gets a little bit deeper. The Most High said, I'm going to smash your idols and I'm going to do these things. But in the Tanakh, it says, your sun idols. Isn't sun worship? Yeah. Well, who worships the sun? People that worship on Sunday. Yeah. Got to wake up, people. I was at work today. I was at work this past week, and had a client on the treadmill looking at the TV. News was on, and they showed the Weather Channel, and there were showed the United States, and there were three cycling storms or three hurricanes. Okay, they might have been tropical storms. I don't know the veracity of them, but just looking at that, thinking of the time of year that we're in, is in the time of Teshuvah, to be repenting. Right, so you have the individual needs to be repenting and trying to get right with the Lord. Then you got to be focused on your family, trying to help them get right, being a petition for them to the Lord. But then you look at the whole country. You got three hurricanes, like, zoom to the United States. United, will you repent to the Lord, God Almighty?
Come on, tell that.
Or will you feel that wrath? So people that have a chance to get into the Hebraic roots and to return back to the Lord and getting filled with the Holy Spirit, the ship is getting ready to board dock. The ship's getting ready to leave. And when that wrath hits, the Holy Spirit will remind you of different people you were encountered in your time and in life that were a little bit different, that were a little bit strange. They go to church on Saturday, I think. This dude, he took the whole week off for some kind of feast of tabernacle or something. And it's sad, because one day the Lord is not going to be playing.
That's right. Absolutely.
Unfortunately. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please. And I'm sorry. So turn back to 1 Peter. I'm sorry. Turn back to 1 Peter really quick. Now I'm going to start in 24. I'm going to read down through 2:2. Let's start in 24. And let's see if it soaks in just a little bit more. Because all flesh is grass, is as grass, and all of the flower of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, the word is life. The word is truth. The word is righteousness, everlasting righteousness. It is salvation. It is the word of God. It is pure. It is hope. It is a lamp. It is a light. It is a guide. And this is what you are feeding babes in Christ when it talks about the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And we just went over a lot of references of word. What does word mean? To help us grow. Help me grow. Help you grow. Help the lost grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we will come back to that, and we'll start connecting the dots here pretty soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're still in the concept of milk does a body good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. We'll start in verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So, once again, milk is for babes, and it's a little bit babes in Christ, okay? And Paul is saying that I fed you with milk, that's all you can handle, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for solid food. Now, my youngest son is 6 months old, and he obviously loves milk, okay? He gets hungry, you got the bottle, eyes flash up, mouth gets open, give me the bottle. But what's interesting is that when there is somebody eating food, solid food, he really gets hyped up. He wants the food. He smells it, but he can't eat it. He don't have any teeth. He can't. He's not ready for it. So, understanding that, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. So some people are just stuck on milk, are not ready for solid food, spiritual versus the carnal. The solid food, as being compared to milk, okay, it is a deeper understanding in the Word of God and advancing in Christ and His kingdom. So when you're eating milk, you are deeper in the Word and you are advancing farther in Christ and His kingdom. The reference of still being carnal is that you're still operating in your flesh. You still have issues in your flesh. Okay? And they give examples here. We're going to start connecting a couple dots. In 1 Corinthians, he uses the word envy, strife, and divisions. Okay? Envy, strife, and divisions. And this is the reason why they're not ready for the solid milk or the advancing in Christ. They're still babes stuck in the milk. Now, did Peter use that language back in 1 Peter 2? Did he? One thing I've learned with the word of the Lord, that every single word means something. Every word means something. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it to you. 1 Peter 2. Therefore, laying aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Paul says envy, strife, and divisions. They both said envy. Strife and divisions. Operating in your flesh. This is the reason why Paul is saying that they're not able to have solid food. Because they have envy among them, there's strife among them, there's division among them. We should understand that here at Hungry Hearts. We should overstand that. Envy and strife, and there are divisions among you. People are dividing up the body of Christ. Evil speaking is one of the words that Peter used. Hypocrisy, deceit, malice, malicious of each other. If God has something set and he has certain people in certain places, but you got people in the body that are causing riffraff, this is what they're talking about. So this is really nothing new to the Lord. So, babes, stuck on milk. I mean, milk's only good for so long. I mean, you're 50 years old. Yeah, you can drink milk, but you need food. I mean, you need food.
Amen.
So spiritually speaking, you can't be on milk. If you've been with the Lord for a long time, you need food from the Lord. Manna, maybe? From heaven? So you cannot eat the solid food. So another way we can look at this and an understanding of the milk is that the milk has been polluted. So when you got the envy, the strife, the divisions, hypocrisy, envy speaking in the body, the babes are affected, okay? But the milk is polluted. And what do you call polluted milk? It's sour milk. Can you drink sour milk? No. Sour milk stinks. Sour milk has clumps in it. It is useless. It's waste. And what do you do with it? You throw it away. So if you're envious or strife or you cause divisions or you're malice or you're deceitful, you're a hypocrite, envy, evil speaking in the body of Christ, you are sour milk. You got to get thrown away. There's no use for you. Don't wear that shirt. Don't be the one in the body of Christ and has a shirt, a black shirt and in white letters, envy. Because you got to go. You cannot drink sour milk. It is useless. Turn to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And we'll look at the 28th chapter, book of Isaiah. Sour milk. Babes cannot drink sour milk. So when you're full of envy, when you have problems in the body of Christ, and you got issues, you are polluting the milk. You are affecting the babes in Christ. Because some people might be advancing the Lord and they just kind of shrug it off. You know. Isaiah 28. Let me get there. Isaiah 28. I'll read this twice. And we'll start. Let's start in. We're going to start in verse 5. I knew I made a change this morning. Sorry about that. I made a change. Isaiah 28, verse 5. In that day shall the Lord of the host be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength and to them that turn to battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all fables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand of doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now I'm going to read that again in the Tanakh. I think some of y'all caught that. Men of evil will not discern the inevitable judgment, but those who seek Hashem will understand all. Better a poor man who walks and is innocent than a rich man who perverts his ways. One who preserves the Torah is an understanding son, but the companion of swillers humiliates his father. One who multiplies his wealth through interest and increase gathers to the patron of the poor. If one turns aside his ear from hearing the Torah, his prayer too will be considered an abomination. One who causes the upright to stray on an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the innocent will inherit goodness. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Will inherit goodness. A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a destitute person with understanding can search out more. Am I in the right? Hang on just a second. 28:5-9. Okay, I'm in the wrong spot, but sorry about that. Sorry about that. So scratch that last part. Okay, anyway, so back to 28:5-9. So the Most High has a problem here with the priests and the prophets who are out of the way, and he calls them drunk. They err in their vision. And then he asks the question, whom shall he teach knowledge to? Whom shall he make to understand? Those that are weaned from milk? Those that are drawn from the breast? In other words, those that are babes in Christ? They can be drawn away because they're not yet solid, not yet understanding, and they can be drawn away. And unfortunately, we have seen that. We have seen that. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Anybody can be deceived. I'm not for sure off the top of my head, but I think somewhere in Revelation, I think it talks about even the very elect being deceived. The very elect, or is it Matthew? Matthew or Revelation, we're talking about the very elect being deceived. So we see here that those that are on milk can be drawn away. So milk is good, but you can't be on it forever. And we're going to look at an example of being deceived here. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 13. 1 Kings 13. First Kings 13, we'll start in verse 10. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them that told also to their father, and their father sent unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, excuse me, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt not eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to come by the way that thou camest. So he understood the word of the Lord. He understood the commandment, what and what not to do. Continuing, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art, and the angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commandeth thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of thee, which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulchre of thy fathers. I'm going to stop right there. And obviously we know that as he was headed back, he was slew by a lion. But the point is that the prophet had the word from the Lord, or the commandment from the Lord, don't do such and such. Do this, don't do this. So he knew the word of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying he was on milk. All I'm just saying is being deceived. He was very close with the Lord. When you can receive word from the Lord and then go execute, okay, you have a really good relationship with him. He was deceived. He didn't stick to the fundamentals. He didn't stick to the basic principles. He did not stick to the fundamentals. He did not stick to the basic principles. And he had that right from the Lord. He didn't get it from the... He was the middleman for the people. He got it straight from the throne. He was deceived. So in Isaiah 28, whom will they teach? Those on the milk. Those just fresh off the Joe's fresh off the breast. When the prophets or the priests or the preachers or the pastors or the pope or the bishops, rabbis, whoever, are not sticking to the word of the Lord. So when they're doing their thing, they're teaching, they're preaching or whatever, okay, if you're on milk, you will be deceived. You won't meet. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I just might make it on time again today. And if I make it on time today, amen. If we make it on time today, that'll be back to back where I've been on time. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12. We'll stop in chapter 6, third verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So, some of you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the first principles and oracles of God. And once again, we see the comparison, the writer of Hebrews talking about comparing milk to solid food. Milk, okay, it's a starter, okay, but solid food, you need solid food. And even in the end of that chapter, it was talking about it is good to help you discern between good and evil. Okay? Obviously, the commandments, God, everything that he has said is good. It is right. Anything opposite of that will be considered evil. It will be considered off. So, if you're on milk, and if you're unskilled in the word, you'll be good, evil. How are you going to discern? Because you're not advanced enough yet in the word. What if somebody who is wicked is really advanced? And we see that a lot. We have a lot of people that make money in the ministry that know their word. But the Holy Spirit's not pushing them. It's another spirit pushing them. So when this pastor such and such or prophet is such and such says so and so, how do you know it's from the Lord? Well, if you're on milk, just don't know. If you're on milk, if you're on meat and you understand the word, that's not from the Lord. That's not from the Lord. That's from the Lord. You will know. We're going to kind of break off and look at a couple different scriptures here. The first thing he was talking about the oracles of God. The oracles of God. So he was talking about people who should be teachers. You need to be taught again. There are supposed to be teachers. You need to be taught again. You need to be taught the oracles of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at some of that. The oracles of God. Turn to Romans 3rd chapter. Romans 3rd chapter. Romans chapter 3. Verse verse 2. We'll go verse 1, starting verse 1. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God? So in Hebrews, the teachers need to be taught. And you can apply that right there to right now, today. Who are the teachers of today? The preachers on TV. You got rabbis over here. You got popes. But you got all these different people who are the teachers. They need to be taught again the oracles of God. They do. It specifically said those of you who are teachers, you need to be taught. So turn to Psalm 60. We just saw where with the house of Judah were committed the oracles of God. But turn it to Psalm 60. We want to back up everything that we read and say with more scripture. Makes a solid foundation. You can stand on that. That's something you can stand on. You can lean on that one. So Psalm 60. Well, hang on. Go to, I'm going to save that one. Go to Psalm 78. I'm going to save that one. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 will be in 68. The oracles of God. The beginning, they were given to the house of Judah. And once again, Psalm 78, 68, or 67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah or Yehuda, the Mount Zion, which he loved. And we just saw in Romans where he said that it was committed to them. We're just looking that up, just kind of backing up that scripture with just more scripture. Okay. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We'll be in verse 38. Acts chapter 7, verse 38. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us. The living oracles. He's talking about the wilderness. We're talking about Mount Sinai. And then in Hebrews, the fifth chapter we just read, where the teachers, they need to be taught again the oracles of God from the beginning. And we know who our teachers are of today. Interesting. The living oracles. And remember we was talking about word earlier. John 1:1, the word is life. The word is pure. The word is faithful. Word is truth. Word is the Lord. Word is sound doctrine. Word is of God. Word is salvation. Word is hope. Word is lamp. Word is light. Word is God. Word is righteousness, everlasting righteousness. And then he called it the living oracles. So when you say that God is alive, he really is alive. His word is alive. So obviously the one who spoke the word is alive. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Remember what he said. Being taught, the teachers need to be taught the oracles of God from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live. For to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. That you may live as in having life. Let's look again. Let's just keep on digging. Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Life, the living oracles. The people who are teachers need to be taught the oracles of God from the beginning. Well, what oracles is he talking about? He's talking about the commandments. Which one? The 10? No. All of them. See, if you only keep the 10, then it's all right for a young woman to get raped. It's all right to let your dog, who's a wild dog, go and, you know, attack and hassle little kids walking by trying to play. If you just limit it to 10. Once again, don't minimize me. I got to be maximized because I created everything. When you think about that, the heavens, the earth, the stars. You got some people who ain't even left your own your town or left your own state. Can you think about traveling the galaxies? I would listen to him. That's who I'm going to listen to. So I want to eat as much meat of the word as I can so that I'm going to be able to discern between good, evil, light, dark, righteous, unrighteous, period. No matter how flashy, how much money, how much hooting and hollering you do, that don't mean nothing. If you ain't talking about this scripture, if you're not talking about the Torah, if you're not talking about Christ, the living Torah, then you are false. And that's kind of harsh, but that's real. And sometimes we don't like real. You know, when I was growing up, you know, it's cool for young men to say, you know, oh, I'm a man, or I keep it real. I'm a man. I keep it real. Well, this is keeping it. This is the ultimate real. This is the ultimate being a man, following the Lord, and turning back to things that he say is good, things that he say is righteous.
Amen.
We'd hear that all the time, especially when I got into coaching. Young men, 18, 19, 20, 21. I'm a man. Okay. Well, I'm gonna treat you like a man. And can't handle the pressure. So as believers and people who follow the Lord, how do we handle the pressure? Stick to the fundamentals. What fundamentals? The word. The pure word. Don't defile the milk. Don't let it be sour with your envy, hate, maliciousness. Those people got to go. You tell guys all the time, if you don't want to be here, there's the exit. Nobody's Salida. Exit. In Spanish, move. Go. Exit. Deuteronomy 32, verses 46. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46, and we'll stop in 47. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. So the teachers need to be taught again the oracles of God from the beginning. In Acts, the oracles are called living oracles. The Most High, when he is giving this to Moses or Moshe, if you do this, it is life. 1 + 1 = 2. Even though you're in advanced, super maximum calculus, can't anybody do that but probably Kelly, but whatever. You're over here, 1 + 1 = 2. So if you want life, listen to the Father in heaven. Listen to his words. Be obedient to him. He knows. Let's look at, when we get to talking about the commandments and the Torah, and it's just being life, okay? Who gave them? Like, who actually gave them? Turn to Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. And the reason why I'm touching on life is because in Acts, the oracles were called living, in Hebrews chapter 5, the teachers should need to be taught again. They need to be taught from the oracles from the beginning. So just kind of letting you know why we're kind of going this route. Isaiah 33, excuse me. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Read that again. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The one who gave us the Torah. The Lord is our king. He will save us.
Thank you.
Now, when Christ returns, he will be the King of Kings. Yeshua or Yahshua, salvation, one who saves. Here it is right here. So the Lord is our judge. Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. So when you talk about the commandments, or you make a mockery of the commandments, even though you might be a Christian on the Sunday side, okay? But when you make a mockery of that, what you got to understand is that you're making a mockery of the one who gave them, who is Christ. And when you eat meat and you're not on milk, you'll see that fire, that flame on Mount Sinai is Christ. You'll be able to understand that. You'll be able to grasp that is Christ giving the commandments, giving the Torah. He is the living Torah. He's also the judge. Turn to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll start at verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law or Torah and judges the Torah. But if you judge the Torah, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, mine's in capital L, by the way, who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Now, wait a minute. Isaiah 33, 22, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. James chapter 4. There is one lawgiver. Excuse me. But a judge, there is one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. So Isaiah and James are in two different time frames of time, but they're on the same page.
Amen.
Got to wake up, people. Got to wake up. The Lord is our King. He will save us. And he will bring his order. And what order will he bring? He will bring his commandments. And if you can't do them now, you will do them soon. You will. Because the Most High is mighty. He melts mountains. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 5. We'll get ready to close here. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read this again. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Free. So we just went over the oracles, how far back they go, that they are life. We know earlier when we talked about word, about life, pure, faithful truth, the word of the Lord, sound doctrine. I didn't get to go over because I didn't want to waste. Got so many scriptures here. Word of Christ, I think in Colossians 3:16, word of Christ. Hope, lamp, light, order. Righteousness upon everlasting righteousness. That word. Those oracles. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. So during this time of repenting, this time of us getting back with God, obviously our enemy, the adversary, the devil, will send whatever he needs to send to keep you out of a repenting or praying or self-examination mind frame. He will do his best to keep us from doing that. So when the pressure and all this different stuff comes, we got to stick to the fundamentals, the fundamental principles, the basics of life for anybody who is a believer. An example, when we would play, okay, and we would do specific drills, okay, and you would tell a player, hey, you got to be in triple threat, or you got to be square and strong with the ball. Well, the guy, he's playing me too hard. He's knocking me off balance. You got to be fundamental. You got to be solid. So when the enemy comes or the Lord tests, you got to be solid on the word. Stick to your fundamentals. We have to stick to the fundamentals regardless of whatever happens. So if I'm supposed to be praying, I need to be praying. I don't care what's going on. The Lord don't care. Trust me, I know he does not care. He doesn't care about how you're feeling. He don't care about what's going on. He don't care about bills being due. He does not care. Stick to the fundamentals, the simplicity of it. Speaking of fundamentals, turn to Mark chapter 10. This will be last scripture. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Every time I see sound doctrine in the scriptures, I just think of hard fundamentals. Boxers, when they're boxing, a boxer can't be loosey-goosey, going to get his head knocked off. He has to be square. He has to guard, he has to protect his ribs, got to protect his head. The fundamentals. He's going to get his head knocked off. It's going to be a quick match. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. Freeze. What do I got to do to get eternal life? Keep the commandments. He didn't say nothing out the box. Stick to the fundamentals. Stick to the living oracles, the principles of God. Back in verse 20, and he answered and said to him, master, all these I have observed from my youth. I've been doing the simple fundamentals. Key word, simple. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Stick to the fundamentals. The fundamentals of Christ are his commandments, and the commandments were given on Mount Sinai. And really, if you get even deeper into it, obviously, when the Lord first spoke, he is speaking commandments, and he has given us guidance and life. So milk does a body good because milk is the purity of the word of God. And as you advance more into the Lord, you should be changing your diet and getting more word, deeper revelation, spiritual revelation, because in the new covenant we have the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit, which allows us to move in the spiritual gifts granted by God. Eating the meat, moving away from the milk. Babes need the milk. But we're in a time where the Lord is coming back so soon and things are happening so quickly that you don't have time to be surviving off milk. It's just not. Whom will he teach knowledge and whom will he show understanding? Those weaned from milk, those on milk, they'll fall for it. And when you look at the world and you look at people who are followers of God, how many people are on milk versus those who are eating meat? If it was on a balance scale, milk is breaking the floor. The meaty people is not a lot. So deception, strong deception. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you once again for this day. We just give you all the praise and glory, Lord. And just ask you, Father, to that this word, Father, may just penetrate through the minds, through the hearts, through the souls of all people, Lord. For we are in a time, Lord, where we see your works. We see what you are doing. We see where your promises are coming true, Lord. The restoration of all things, the gathering of those who have been scattered, Father, in your anger, but the regathering of them in your love and through your mercy. And we just thank you, Father, for just allowing us to come together and to meet during this time, Heavenly Father, on this day. And we just thank you so much, and we just pray, Father, that your will is always done, that you are always put first. And we pray, Lord, that we are constantly striving together as a body and as individuals, Lord. And we just pray that you continue just to be with us. And we pray, Father, that our prayers are that you hear.